This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy draft day to you. In fact, I thought that's where Seth was going. I thought he was good. What's the name of the player in draft day? I'm going to be completely honest. I've not watched the movie.
Bo Callahan.
There is like Bo Callahan or Bus. I thought that's where he was.
No, that's Vontae Mack.
Is it Vontae Mack? Oh, there we go.
Vontae Mack. I forget.
Something to that effect. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. The people that have watched. And if you haven't, you're in the same place that I am. It's cool. All right. Let's get going on a first round Thursday here in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig, and you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Also, appreciation to the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers for providing the live streams both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610 and 610 Houston. What a day.
What a sports day
that you got set up for you here. And as Sean was talking about it when we were cross-talking, shout out to Rocky, saying Vontae Mack, no matter what. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But as we were cross talking, Sean was talking about like what if great vibes. I shudder to think what my emotional state would be coming in today if you didn't get an Astros sweep. More importantly, if you didn't get a Rockets tying of the series, and then you're going into round one of the draft with all of the fraught, moving machinations up and down, all of the scuttlebutt, a word that I keep saying, and I'm blaming in some way Sean Pendergast as well for that. Like all of that about the draft, my emotional state would be very fraught. But right now, I'm cruising, baby.
It makes you feel better about the draft. Everything does. The way the Astros seem to have been, you know, heaven forbid, and I'm too early here, but, you know, kind of turning the corner early.
Never wrong, just early. That's all.
And obviously last night, getting a number of big breaks and a number of big plays and moments and performances from some players. I mean, it just makes you feel good all around.
All right, you say some players, and we could talk about more players. In fact, we should talk about more players. There's a lot of folks to credit, some folks to discredit. In fact, hello Draymond Green, when is your reign of antics going to end? But I would like to start right here, the Jalen Green game, baby.
Yeah.
Jalen Green was phenomenal in a real answer to what was a stinker of a game one. Jalen Green, 38 of them things offensively in a 109-94 victory for your Houston Rockets. They win game two. They level the series before they ship off to San Francisco to play on Saturday. But Jalen Green, 38 points, a nice 6 assists as well. On reasonably efficient shooting, 13 to 25, the 3-point shot really ticked up once. It went in such a way where the 3-point shooting was a little bit suspect early, and then it was just like, oh, we need to bury them. Here come all these 3-pointers for you. I got one here. I got another one for you here. I got all this for you here. You want to take your victory lap? Because I feel like you're waiting to take your victory lap.
Hey, man, you know, I'm just saying. Things are said and things are remembered. I said I needed 28 or 30 out of Jalen Green. I needed 28 out of 30 out of one of these guys, and it was going to, you know, the most likely candidate was Jalen Green. But that's the extent of that, because this is him, man. This is the way that this is the way we hope that he would perform from the start. And I actually give him more credit than even just 38 points and what a, you know, magnificent game that he played.
I'm interested to see what the additional credit is, because there were some things that I was very impressed with.
The maturity that he showed after game one, and he said it, because what did I say? And I was kind of hesitant to say it, but I thought it was accurate. I said he wilted, you know, in game one.
Okay.
He said pretty much the same thing after last night's game.
Let's hear it from Jalen Green. This is Jalen Green talking about, you know, the lights and such.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Fig. I realize that you're getting yourself set up still. Yeah, this is Jalen Green talking about the circumstances.
Mindset. But, that first game, you know, the lights were bright, the crowd was here, the court looked huge. So yeah, I couldn't really get a chance to, you know, settle in. My legs was a little shaky, but you know, that's part of it. Went through it, and you know, I feel like I did a good job answering back.
To be able to admit that, you know, publicly, I think that says a lot about just him and his maturity and the self-awareness, as I said.
It helps when you have a great game.
But no, absolutely, it helps sure. when you have a great game. But a lot of people wouldn't have done that. You know, like, well, they would have come up with, you know, finally found my shot, whatever, you know, it was. But I think it shows not just the maturity, but I feel like it shows that he really has settled in. Like, that could be a good sign moving forward.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. I think that's the case. Real quick before we move on, I do also want to give a little hat tip to C.J. Stroud, mm-hmm. who, ball knower, more than just football. This is C.J. Stroud Monday talking about the Rockets game, and it seems like, compare that to what Jalen said here.
You know, it takes time for young guys, and, you know, me being a young dude, I know it's a different sport, but it's the same type of environment. It takes a little adjusting. The court look a little different. For us, the field looks different. The stands, the lights a little brighter. And it just takes time to get adjusted. The speed is a little more, and, you know, you're playing against some of your childhood favorite players. Like, for me, it was going against Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. It's like, damn, I'm really going against some legends, and I got to bring my A game. And I think for them, they'll slow down. They'll start to make their shots.
Is that not what happened?
That is exactly
what
happened.
Shout out to CJ Ballnower.
Exactly what happened.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. There was a level of maturity in that response.
I think he settled in.
I think he yeah. did to some degree. Yeah. And one of the things is, I also want to bring this around to Ime Udoka, because I think that there was a level of challenge. I'll give you what he said was the conversation with Jalen Green. But it's very evident that Jalen Green, whether it was Ime or whether it was himself, he understood the challenge that he mm-hmm. had. And he stood up to it, mm-hmm. especially because early on you could see he was attacking, and this honestly falls in with the entirety of the team, and which is why I believe it to be an mm-hmm. edict from the coaching, where it was evident one of the big changes in this game was they were looking to attack, but also all the way through their attack, up to actually finishing mm-hmm. a layup or what have you, they kept in mind, you can always pass the ball here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Jalen Green, particularly when you saw the height of his development towards the end of this basketball season, was attacking, but also still remembering that you can play make out of that, and that's a huge part of your role. And he did a great job of that early in this game, especially, and I think that set the tone for the game for him and for the entirety of the team.
He did, but you know, the counter to that I loved, he also did a couple of heat checks, and
he did a few more than a couple. If I was going to be a jerk right now,
no, but some of them went in.
Absolutely.
Eight made, man.
If I was going to be a jerk right now, I could say that he lost the plot a little bit as yeah. the game went along. Where yeah. like the foul that he had driving in, where they set a very high screen and roll, which I loved. I loved mm-hmm. that adjustment. Set the screen and roll high for him and let him get downhill with some gusto, with some yeah. speed. He was coming downhill. There's three Warriors showing to the basketball. And they're not all crashing in as quickly to mm-hmm. you know, show him like actual bodies in front of him. And he knows he's fast enough to go. He goes. He tries to attack the basket. He misses it with kind of a lackluster layup. But they ultimately challenge to get the foul.
Yeah.
On that play, Jabari Smith Jr. is sitting in the corner wide, booty butt naked open.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the playmaker in you should absolutely still see that and go, three Warriors jerseys, open dude at the corner, I'm making that pass.
Yeah.
But he was in heat check mode, which I'm yeah. not going to begrudge him entirely, but I do think that you do need to stay on the plot. That's me being a jerk while still understanding all of that ended up netted out with a 38-6 basketball game in which he really set the tone offensively and allowed you to go win.
I don't think that's being a jerk. I think what is the most encouraging thing for me is not just Jalen Green had that game that we were craving for, that I specifically, you know, called for, that they needed. It's not that. That's not the most encouraging thing. The most encouraging thing is, I think, as I mentioned a second ago, he seems to have settled in. I don't think those lights are going to be bright anymore. This is a good road team. They're going to have some time off. He's confident. So going to Golden State is not going to be a big issue. And then not just self-awareness, you know, in terms of how he handled things, self-awareness on the floor. Like, as you mentioned, he was sort of reading the floor properly. It wasn't a perfect game by any stretch, and you just pointed that out. I think it wasn't a perfect game for the Rockets in general. They still out-rebounded them. They made some free throws, which was good. But they were, in fact, I was texting you guys after the first quarter, the Rockets were up 10, and I'm like, I still don't have a feel for this game. It was that kind of erratic, you know? But the self-awareness on the floor to take those heat checks when he knows, almost like a mini Jimmy Butler, like, should I pass here? should, you know, he was making some great defensive plays. That steal and dunk was incredible.
I think I sent it to you verbatim. Yeah. And I was like, I'm probably being very annoying in this moment in the text chat. Y'all can let me know if that's the case or not. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to do the thing where I'm going to read it verbatim as to not misquote myself in this instance. And I think that all caps with the yelling emoji, I said, man, I sent y'all a lot of text, didn't I? Get on the floor, Jalen. Yeah. Because that's what, I mean, he was, you saw the energy, the effort, you saw that really show up. And it wasn't just him, it was everybody. But Jalen seems to be a level of barometer for this team. And that was a great one. Shout out to the 281 on the text line who mentions, I like when Jalen hit that first three. You can tell it did something to him because the effort he put in on defense and Curry, it showed, and that's absolutely what we're talking about.
There. No, but it was everything too. He made some mistakes, but there were so many moments that he had a good feel. He made a big defensive play. He had a good feel for when the baseline cuts were outstanding all night long, coming from the corner, not just hitting, waiting for a corner three, but cutting on the drive. Those were outstanding. You could tell they were in attack mode. There were some mistakes, but he was the star, obviously, but he was the star in more ways than just 38 points.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a mini who hooped real quick? Let's do it. Because like Jalen Green absolutely stood out and he kind of had that singular presence. And I do want to kind of ask how sustainable it is for him in general. But I feel like it's also worth noting the other folks that showed up. And we could start with just the general team number that illustrates one of those things is, hey, thanks for knocking down some shots, fellas.
Not just knocking down some shots, but knocking down some free throws. That was big.
37.5 from three percentage, 80% from free throw line, which is much better than what was like the 50% that they were shooting from the free throw line.
Tari Eason. That to me was
For throwing that towel at Pat Spencer.
He
must have been so offended like we were that Steve Kerr had a man wearing number 61 out there.
What did Figgy call him?
I'm like, that dude looked like Pat McAfee out there, man. Like, who the hell is that?
My favorite tweet of the night is somebody saying, why are the Warriors playing a park ranger?
Yeah.
Because he sure does it. But, yeah, man, like, that's an illustration of one of the other big.
It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't.
That brother was the second leading scorer at one point, man. It was Curry and then him with nine.
He was like that guy on the hard top that you're like, he ain't no good. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
I'm like, damn.
Whoa.
And this is why we absolutely have to talk about feel like it's probably a problem that I neglected it to this point. Jimmy Butler going out in this game, falling on his keister. It looked like a tailbone. They're calling it a pelvis contusion. He will have an MRI today, and that's going to be hugely important in what this game is because you scored 109 points, which definitely feels like something that is relatively tenable. I don't know that you're especially going to get 38 points from Jalen Green, and we'll talk more about that as well. But the idea that you had guys knocking down shots, that you did the rebound thing, you shot reasonable, and you won by 15. Mm-hmm. What does that look like if you have Jimmy Butler not having three and playing those minutes? I'm very interested, but the MRI today could, you know, give you an opportunity to learn that, or it could entirely not give you an opportunity to learn that, which would be a great benefit to the Rockets and also feel like a karmic balance considering how this series has gone in the history between these two teams.
Yeah, since we're in the mode of reading our texts on air, I'm going to read the text that I sent you guys about Jimmy Butler. Before it was even announced that he was going to get an MRI, this was after he walked off the floor, I said, this may even change the series. That limp told me it was more than his back. It was more his back than his tailbone, and that would linger for a while. I think the Warriors are going to – they're in a world of trouble if it is something that's going to – and I know they have 2 days off, basically three, you know, counting
– Well, there's also travel day, so it's going to be – it'll feel a little bit more like a two for them.
But I don't care how many days off. If he misses the next game, it's going to be a much more serious thing. And you know, frankly, you hate to see it happen, but you take it if you're a Rockets fan.
All right, so let's do an impromptu what was most encouraging for you, because from the 832, they sent in what was encouraging for them, which was Fred's lack of field goals this time around and deferring to the youth. It's interesting because I asked, I sent a text to B. Scott, and that'll come up in confessions, actually. I sent a text to B. Scott, who was at the game, obviously being an intrepid reporter as he always is. And I asked him, to your eye, has Fred had a good game, a bad game, or something else? Because, like, I looked at the score, or looked at the box score at that point, and he had, what was it, like 5 points or 1 of 5 shooting at that point or something, and he only finished 2 of 8. But it definitely felt like it was like, oh, it's a solid game.
Mm-hmm. And solid maybe at best is where I would put it. Solid maybe at best.
And I felt like, well, circle back around to Ime. We obviously will talk about this game again because a huge victory that negates a 0-2 deficit going on the road as a young team in the first round or first time in playing in the playoffs. Mind you, actually, I should have mentioned this. The first victory for the Rockets in the playoffs in 1,692 days.
Yeah. Just a couple more real encouraging things for me. And then we probably will circle back to this.
We will
circle back to this. 17, 16, and 7 from Şengün, man. He's 24, right? 24 going on 30. Like, that dude just seems polished right now. Like, because he's played in Europe since he was 16 years old as a professional. I don't think that this moment is too big for him. And then the other thing that's encouraging to me, I'm 90% sure Draymond Green is going to get tossed from at least one game.
Are you? Because I'm not. Yeah, the way the NBA
he's gonna
lets
blow a
him.
Gasket. He's going to blow a gasket.
I mean, I was going to say, has he not already? But I've seen Draymond Green. He has
it's
more.
It's leaking
he
right now.
He is capable
it's
of
leaking
even more.
Right now, yeah.
He is capable of even more of those things.
Yeah.
Over under how many times Reggie says interesting in the show? Over 20, up to 5 now in 15 minutes in the show. Fair enough.
I think that's interesting.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And from the, on the text line, somebody said, did Figgy get any Game 2 vibe checks? Well, you will have to listen to Figgy's mixtape 1:20 p.m. to find out if anybody sent some vibe checks from the arena. But yeah, a 109-94 victory for the Rockets, leveling out the series, winning the must-win as John Lopez had termed it.
Hey, no, I didn't. Don't put words in my mouth.
I think you pretty much termed it that. But yeah, huge, huge game, especially from Jalen Green answering the bell that and the call that he established for himself that I know the email Udoka established for him and I think a lot of Rockets fans had for this team. We'll circle back around to that game again as we continue on this Thursday. NFL Draft Day, round one tonight. You'll get Texans All Access or Texans Radio started at 6 and then the actual selecting begins at 7. You'll hear that here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, if Nick Caserio stays true to his draft DNA, what will he do tonight? Let's examine that next. Yeah, happy round one of the NFL draft day to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig for you. A lot of folks on the text line and the YouTube page saying that Draymond Green is a clown. And you know what? You're right.
He is.
My favorite tweet was from Mark Berman last night.
Oh, he hates him. He hates him.
He tweeted like, oh, TNT decided to do a highlight reel of Draymond Green being a jackass. And they actually did, though, man. It was like a real highlight reel of him just being a jerk.
But Berman has had a bunch of run-ins with him as a reporter.
I didn't know that.
Well, not like bad, but just knows his personality, knows, you know, talks to coaches and all that.
Yeah.
And he hates him.
Yeah, no, I like Mark Berman just being a fan now.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Just,
me too. Yeah.
I like him just being a fan, just tweeting it.
Yeah.
God, Draymond was annoying the hell out of me. And I'm usually one where I'm like, I get it. There's some antics involved. Yeah, the antics is the way that I continue.
And then I sort of twisted the knife at Reggie a little bit when clearly Dylan Brooks raised his arm and tried to, you know, on that double foul technical. And that's what the official saw, too. I said, antics, Dylan Brooks, antics.
I mean, yeah, Dylan Brooks will get to some antics. I still think that Draymond Green would
Draymond
crazy.
Know what he's doing, man.
Oh,
he's doing that on purpose just to
he's
get
an a-hole.
People right. Yeah.
He's an a-hole.
I'm glad you centered yourself there.
I hate that people just kind of get sucked in by Draymond like that, man.
All right. We'll talk more about that as we continue to go. Rockets tie the series 1-1. But today, the Houston Texans, in theory, I believe, will probably add a player to their team. Maybe not. Because Nick Caserio, he is a man who has an M.O. Mm-hmm. What is that M.O., John Lopez, if he stays true to his draft?
That's
DNA.
The thing, and that's what I was trying to, and it's not just me, but one of the things I was looking at last night.
Oh, yeah.
As I was flipping from Astros to Rockets, and you know, I had to run into the other room at one point to see after you texted about Josh Hader, to see the end of the Astros game.
Yeah, once he put a couple of people on base, I was like, hey, man,
we'll get to that. But anyway,
I'm
piddling around. I'm like, all right, if you look like we can you know, sort of localize this too. Like, if I were to say, what is Figgy? Like, what is Figgy's DNA? What are some things that he just, you know, constantly does? What is Reggie? How would you describe Reggie's sort of modus operandi? You know, how he conducts himself. We could all come up with me, you know, whomever. What is Nick Caserio? what is his draft DNA? You know, and maybe that'll give us a little glimpse into what to expect tonight. So I came up with four things, and there are some, there's a lot of information and statistics that will back these four things up. In his DNA, Nick Caserio loves to move up in the draft. That's just the way he is.
He likes to move just generally, well, to be fair.
Yes, but he's had 18 draft day trades. 13 of them have been up.
Okay.
Have been to move up in the draft. So there's one little piece of evidence. And at the end of this, I want you guys to tell me what you think it means. Where does that lead you into tonight's first round?
Sure.
So in his DNA, he likes to trade on draft day, and he really likes to move up. That's one thing. He loves Power 5, Power 4, whatever you want to call them, players, especially if they're from the SEC.
Right. And I mean, it's understandable as to why that would be something that you lean on, because those are the players that, mm-hmm, you probably have the most tape playing against NFL caliber, mm-hmm, players, especially as we know that this team cares greatly about tape and talking to players, mm-hmm, interviews and such. And so the testing's not going to matter as much. And if you're going to use tape, you want to have a good amount of it where you have as, yeah, much data as possible.
All right. The third thing that's in his DNA, he is a, from the New England days, sorry, I brought that up, not him. He is a culture fit guy. Like, he doesn't draft anyone that does not fit what he feels. In this case, it's Swarm, but, you know, whatever you want to say. So he's not going to, my takeaway from this is he's not going to necessarily draft a high upside player or a player that has any sort of nonchalance in terms of the game and the preparation, et cetera. He wants those dogs. You know, he wants those guys that are his culture. The fourth thing that's in his DNA, and this is an interesting one to me because it doesn't necessarily fit round one, but it might. He likes to back up at least twice, once or twice every draft. He likes to back up one pick with another pick later in the draft at the same position. I'll give you some examples. Will Anderson. Obviously, we know where he went. That same draft, a few rounds later, he drafted Dylan Horton.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is because he likes to have the two guys learning off each other, same class, but also backing up the position, have fallback plans. He also drafted Tank Dell. A couple of rounds later, he drafted Xavier Hutchinson at the same position. More recently, he drafted Juice Scruggs. A couple of rounds later, he drafted Jarrett Patterson. So he likes to back up those, especially mid-round picks,
mm-hmm,
that can maybe be, you know, feast or famine with another one at the same position. So that doesn't necessarily fit today, but it could. You know, if they have a late-round pick at wide receiver, then maybe we should expect another wide receiver for however many reasons that he has in the third or fourth round. So when you put it all together, where does that lead you, especially where does it lead you tonight?
Well, I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think one of the things that I find to be interesting, I'm stuck on the idea of that backup, and I do wonder, we've seen them talk to kind of some yeah, offensive linemen as well that you would consider
and
as
running backs. Remember Giddens came
two
in?
And late
your
day
guy
three.
From
yeah,
K-State?
Yeah, although Giddens is kind of in a weird space where, well, weird is not necessarily the way that I want to term that, but he is in that middle space, and I think that's kind of
but for
generally
a running
where
back,
they've
that might be fourth
a running
or fifth round.
Anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is like, mm-hmm, they might just pick in that, yeah, kind of general area as well with the running back. So do you double back in that same kind of bucket, mm-hmm, of players in a way?
I know how about the linemen? The Juice Patterson, Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs thing stuck with me a little bit. So if they draft a guard, let's say, Gray Zabel at 25, maybe in the third round, fourth round, another one?
No, and I could absolutely see that. In fact, the idea of drafting two in that top 100 feels, mm-hmm, like it's something that I've been fond of and, mm-hmm, that, you know, seems kind of relatively likely. What about you? Like, you seemed like you were going somewhere, and I hate that I kind of stopped you in that space.
No, I was just going to kind of go over those
some of the
four
players.
Things. Where does it lead you, these things? Where do you think it does?
Well, depending on – and what's tough is that all these things, and like, what did Nick say in one of those answers when he was talking to the assembled media, mm-hmm, before? Is like every year is the same, and that every year is different.
Yeah,
right. I think that also when you were talking about like the trading up, I think also it's worth considering that this Texans team was probably in a different space than it was in this year. I don't know that they've come into a draft under his tenure at any time, mm-hmm, where they've had this particular type of situation. There have been years where they've been trying to turn over and add talent in such a way that you haven't had as much, mm-hmm, as you really needed. Now you're in a place where you've got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And Nick Caserio even said it, that you're going to probably have a difficulty rostering all of these guys, which I guess you could take as the way of he will trade up in order to just get the guys that he wants as finishing pieces in some way. But I also don't – I take that in some ways also that – you might not you might be allowed to be a little bit more discerning in the ways you might not need to be as aggressive, although like he has that aggression within him is which is evident, and we already know that he's kind of scoped around, if you are to believe the reporting that's out there on the potentials of moving up. But I am kind of continually thinking about the fact that like they've talked to some of these guys offensive line wise where as we're looking at there might be a potential run. They've talked to some guys on the back fringes of that seemingly gets them in a place where maybe if they like some of those guys, they can stay and not necessarily be beholden to what might be a raising price to move up. So, but I mean, if you were in that place, it would fall in with the narrative that some people are talking about, that they like their guys, especially like you talk about power conferences and then also culture, right? The guys like Tyler Booker, the guys like Kelvin Banks Jr., they like those guys. If those guys are the ones that they're locked in on, that they will be willing to find a partner and move up, especially with the additional capital that they've gained trading away Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, look, where it leads me, just based on his DNA, it leads me to he's going to move up in the draft tonight. He's going to draft a player from an SEC school. Maybe
so back, no Gray's able for you, huh?
Maybe back. Yes, that's exactly right. Maybe back it up later with another pick at the same position for I'm sure he has a number of reasons why that is. I'm thinking Kelvin Banks, they're going to trade up and try to get Kelvin Banks or Josh Simmons, who might not fit that third thing, you know, in terms of culture and swarm and all that. But big school, something along those lines.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very interested to see how it goes. And especially today, we've gotten a lot of things that kind of shifts these things up. Mm-hmm. Somebody's I think it's Kicks Rocks on the YouTube page. If Kelvin Banks slips a little, I think that might be the only guy that they're willing to jump up for.
And I'm with you.
You might have to jump really far the way that some of the reporting is coming in on draft day. The draft day reporting is always wild to me. I remember, what was that? Was that last year or the year before with Sam Laporta? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, his name got real big, and then look at Sam Laporta now. So the day of the draft, that scuttlebutt, it's built different, I got to say. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, getting in the NFL draft mood completely. Our question of the day, what are some things that you cannot wait to see tonight with the draft? And it does not have to be Texans specific, and it does not even have to be football specific. 713-572-4610. We'll do it next. All right, let's do the question of the day here. NFL draft day. Night one gets going on Sports Radio 610 at 6 with a little bit of pregame for it, right, with Texans radio. And then 7 o'clock is when the picking begins. Yes! The sound that we learned a little bit about. We learned a little bit. Shout out to Bob Christensen putting that thing together.
Yeah.
And all the years of that letting you know that, hey, listen up. Things are happening. What are some of the things that you cannot wait to see tonight with the draft? 713-572-4610. Does not have to be football specific. Does not have to be Texas specific. What can you not wait to see tonight?
All right. Look, we can talk, like as you mentioned, football, non-football. Some of the things that... On a serious note, before I get into some of the funny stuff that I can't wait to see, I love when the players' emotions come out. Like I may call me old school, call me a sap, corny, whatever. I mean, guys, this is it's not just because they won the lottery. No, it's dreams fulfilled, man. I mean, it's to me it gets me every year. It gets me every year.
How you feel about the ones that's already like they're going to be picked number 1 overall and then they just like so surprised that they just start balling out?
Well, I don't think the reason I like it, that's part of the reason I like it. Like, let's go with Cam Ward. Everybody knows he's the number 1 pick in the draft, all right? And if he goes balling, crying, that's because no one recruited him out of high school. He went to freaking Incarnate Word.
Hey, be a little, calm down with the way that you said that. You were bordering on disrespectful the way you said that.
All due respect.
There you go. That's how you make it palatable.
All due respect. Then he's bouncing around. Like, people told him, you cannot play this game at this level in college. And then he's the number 1 overall pick. So that's why I think the emotion.
That might be a little different right there.
But a lot of them have those stories. You know, a lot of people have those stories.
And then that's one of the things that I can't wait to see is just how many of the, like, Are we going to get to the point where it's trauma, you know?
His mother was a crackhead.
Yeah, because
his father left him at the age of three.
It gets uncomfortable for me personally with drafts at times and some other, league-type things because, as with anything, right, when you are telling a story, mm-hmm. you need to have stakes and you need to have hardships to overcome,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And with a draft, which, if we're going to be honest, is a glorified HR meeting, right, where are the stories to be told is in the individuals. And you're right. Like, yeah. it's absolutely talking about the various guys and their trajectories and their stories there. Sometimes we can lean a little too much into the, oh, well, look at this trauma. Look at this trauma over here. No, there's trauma over here.
It gets contrived.
And so, that's also, like, will they be able to balance this well enough? That's always something that I'm looking for. It's like, are they able to make this so that we're not leaning so heavily into, look at all the terrible things that's happened to this young man, and maybe actually appreciate and celebrate the moment for them a little bit more than that.
And then there's the wives and girlfriends dynamic, which I just love that so much. I go back to Russell Wilson and his now ex-wife thinking she had won the lottery and the dude snatching the phone from his girlfriend, his burner phone.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. that whole girlfriend and wife dynamic is just...
Honestly, I want to see the mamas because some of these mamas are looking... All right.
Oh, okay, I was going to see how disrespectful you were going to be.
Shout out to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, some of these mamas just like, oh, that's your mother? Yeah. Like, I thought that was his girlfriend.
Hear me out.
Oh, that's his mama.
Hear me out.
Figgy wants to find out which of these dudes can fight. That's what he wants to find out because one thing you know for sure, if you see some young man's mother and she is fine, you know he had to fight some of his friends for saying 100%. Something deeply disrespectful at some point.
And you know it's going to be one mama that stands out.
Oh, at least.
Like, oh, that's his mama?
At least.
from the 972, they said they can't wait to see Dallas trade back for next to nothing plus a box of donuts.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Who's going to get fleeced? Because that's one of the things that's kind of a novelty to this point with this draft in particular is that as of right now, everybody owned their own pick in the first round, which just doesn't happen nowadays.
Yeah.
And now we're getting more and more smoke to the degree that or to the idea that there will be some moves that are happening. And so who ultimately makes the move and who gets fleeced?
I can't wait. And it ties in with that. I can't wait for that one pick. Everyone universally says, what the hell were they doing?
Last year was Michael Penix.
Yeah, what the hell
were they thinking?
Because it's going to be across the board, but they think they've reinvented the wheel, you know?
Do you think that's actually possible this year in the first round? I hear you, but my question really falls within the context of, this is a draft in which it feels like there are evident selections up to a certain point, probably like your first three are evident selections. And then after that, you just have largely a large pool of guys that I guess the experts, quote unquote, believe have a certain level of similarity when it comes to quality. It's just personal preference, you know?
Yes and no, because part of the reason that it's universally panned is because everybody's seen these mock drafts. So, like, I'm just happen to have open the wide receivers here.
Okay.
You know, so let's say Travis Hunter obviously is going high.
Oh, so if you have someone like a Mecca Buka going as the second wide receiver.
All of a sudden, Tet McMillan is on the board at whatever, 6, 7, whatever it might be, and they take Jalen Noel from Iowa State. That's going to happen.
By the way, he says his name is Jalen Noel.
Oh, he sure does, doesn't he? I did see that.
Mm-hmm. You said Noel?
Yeah.
Noel.
It's Noel. But like that would be like, oh, everybody like, oh, they, you know, Tet McMillan was on the board and all. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah, somebody going to get picked a little earlier than expected where you're going to be like, oh, who's there? They grabbed him kind of early.
Yeah, but I feel like it'll be more surprise than like panning necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that ultimately plays out.
Do you think it'd be a moment like the Michael Penix Jr.? Moment.
I actually don't think that we're going to get one specifically like, well, okay.
The moment where you'd be like, what?
Yeah. The place where you might have that is quarterbacks because there's not a lot of quarterbacks that I think are widely regarded highly.
Yeah.
There's some, the last few weeks, there have been quarterbacks that people have kind of given some love to within the Jackson Darts, right? And you've been early on the Jackson Darts situation on liking him as a player. Could a team trade up or take him in the first round or something like that? I think is one of those.
Things. I will be shocked if, let's say, Jackson Dart go before Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked as like, what are they thinking? That's a bad thing. But I would be shocked like, wow.
Right. Yeah. It would be a wow moment. The other thing that I'm going to hate watch is
ooh, hate watch.
I'm going to hate watch. I can't stand the Roger Goodell fake hugs. I can't tell you
how the hugs are real.
Is it or is it for the cameras?
I mean, even if it's for the camera, the physicality of the hug is really putting.
I think
the player side of the hug is real.
Mm-hmm.
Like they dapping them up. I think he probably just rolling with
Roger Goodell does it every year for one reason. Look, they love me. See, they all love me. No, they don't. They're happy they got drafted. He does it for him. Roger Goodell does it for him.
This is a good one that comes in on the text line from the 346. Which draft pick has the loudest suit? And that's kind of shifted a little bit. It felt like in the, especially in the early aughts, and maybe this is more basketball, but I feel like this happened also in football. Mm-hmm. You got some crazy stuff, but now the stylists
are all in the game.
And I guess we have gotten to where the guys like their style so much that they will do some kind of wild stuff, whether it's like high water pants or not wearing no shirt underneath their suit or what have you, or various different things. So maybe we will still see some maybe loud suits or just like interesting decisions when it comes to the way that they style themselves. But it feels like we have kind of tampered that back in a way where it's not as outlandish. But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully we get some really fun nonsense.
On a personal level, so we're gonna be at the draft party watching the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Mark and Andre and John Harris whenever that draft pick is announced.
Yeah.
Because I never forget that the way they look, or the way John Harris specifically looked when the Texans traded up. Because they remember they got CJ Stroud, and then they traded up and got Will Anderson. His video, I got to find that video and tweet it.
I like John Harris explanations and breakdowns of the players, like even like in the fourth and fifth and sixth round. Oh, this guy is a blah blah. He's so excited he can do this.
He was so happy when they drafted Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, man, this was my number one tight end.
Tight end out of Miami.
On footballtakeover.com. He was hyped.
How about another thing that I like to watch is Jets fans when the pick is made.
Because they
just slapping their forehead. Oh, no.
And I love that because what it belies is it's not really about the player. It's not like they've been doing all of the work to know that this player is a bad fit. That is just them inherently within themselves having a belief that our organization is so bad that whoever they pick, I know they're terrible. Like, I'm guaranteeing this person trash, not because they are actually trash, but because the Jets thought it saw fit to select them.
Yeah.
And I find that to be deeply like, how strong a fan do you have to be to travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is not a direct flight, mind you.
Yes.
Like, travel to Green Bay, Wisconsin, pay money to be there just so you can see the pick and know immediately I have no faith in it just off the strength of who they are.
Yeah, I like seeing the fan bases who team need a quarterback, and then they get to that pick, and they don't pick a quarterback.
What?
They pick like a center, and they be like, oh, my gosh, Shedeur Sanders was right there.
Like, or the ones that love it no matter what.
That's right.
The ones that are like the 28th, 29th pick, whatever, and like there's a very well-known player available, and they end up drafting
a center from SMU or something.
And they're like, yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy I wanted all along.
Which, to be fair, they're probably doing this right. Like, yes, a lot of people put in a lot of work on the front end to have some idea, but maybe I'm leaning too heavily into the Nick Caserio perspective of, nobody knows for sure. Like, your lottery picks. And so why not operate on the contention of hope right now?
But like to use your example, Figgy, you know, some guard from SMU, they had no idea that person existed.
Everybody turns into Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer.
Yes.
From the 832, who's keeping track of that interesting count for Reggie? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure we're at like, what, 7, 8, something like that. Yeah. If you want to keep track with it, go for it. I might do the thing. You shouldn't have alerted me to it because I might do the thing where I do it too much now and really annoy you about it. Mm-hmm. So be careful. Be careful what you wish for. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL, including, I mentioned it, today is a day where the insiders start dropping a lot of stuff, especially as movings and shakings seem to start to transpire. Let's get into what some of those things are, including, and then also, rather, there's some bold predictions for what happens tonight. I want to get you guys' thoughts on it. We'll do it next.